Conchita Fioravanti Wells, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Tony Abbott downgraded the position of Pacific Affairs in his ministry from the previous Labour government's Minister of Pacific Affairs, and then Malcolm Turnbull re-elevated it last year to the ministry that you now lead of International Development and the Pacific. How do you explain the change of position between the two leaders?
Look, I think it's obviously a matter for Mr. Abbott, but I'm very, very pleased that Mr. Turnbull elevated the position to a ministry, and indeed I'm very pleased to have been promoted to this ministry from Multicultural Affairs. I think it's an important ministry. I think that with our greater emphasis on the Indo-Pacific area, I'm very pleased not just to have this portfolio, but to have this portfolio following on from my previous work that I've done in the multicultural space. I think that it's certainly assisted me and helped me very much in terms of my awareness of different cultures and different communities.
There have been significant cuts in the foreign aid budget during this term of your government. If you are returned in the next elections, first of all, will there be any further cuts to the foreign aid budget? And will there be any of those cuts that will impact on development aid to the Pacific?
Well, can I just first of all say that we have provided over $4 billion in official development assistance in 2015 and 2016, and we will provide an estimated $3.8 billion in 2016-17 and then next year it reverts. Our aid in the Pacific especially is directed towards promoting prosperity, reducing poverty and enhancing stability in the Indo-Pacific area. Can I particularly go to the Pacific? We have our development cooperation program in the Pacific has been increased to $1.138 billion in 2016-17, and that's up from 2015-16. And this program is delivered in partnership with our Pacific neighbours and addresses jointly agreed priorities, including in areas of work on health and education, gender equality, economic growth, governance and the impact of climate change. And can I say, we are committed to working with our Pacific neighbours to support sustainable economic growth and to further integrate our economies.
So you're saying there won't be any cuts on the foreign aid budget to
the
Pacific?
Well, I'm saying to you that in the and it's set out in the forward estimates, I'm quoting to you figures for 2016-17, which are going up from 2015-16. I don't have the other figures with me over the forward estimates, but we are committed. We have refocused our aid program to the Indo-Pacific area. We are a lead regional donor and our focus is very much on education and health sectors, but we're also looking to identify new ways that we can engage with the private sector for economic growth and poverty reduction. That includes building economic partnerships. It also means that we're increasing our focus on economic related investments, including aid for trade. And as you will know, Yuani, we also have aid investment plans for the various countries in the Pacific, and they're up on our website. So I go back to the point that I made earlier, that we, our intention is to ensure that we address jointly our agreed priorities with our Pacific neighbours.
You've touched on climate change. Pacific Island Forum leaders have been calling on more action to counter the effects of climate change. And as you well know, small islands are very vulnerable to rising sea levels. Your government abolished the carbon tax, the mining tax. We still haven't got an emissions trading scheme. Now, what will you say to Pacific Island leaders in the next forum about your government's effort to counter the march of climate change?
Well, we've certainly, on the issue of climate change, Ioane, I just recently attended a couple of international forums, which included our continuation and our support for the Asian Development Bank. And we know that there will be eligibility for funding for various countries, not just through the Asian Development Bank, but also through the Global Climate Fund. And at this point in time, Australia is a co-chair of the Global Climate Fund, and certainly we're going to use our position in that space to ensure that appropriate funding is made available to countries in the Pacific to assist them with the impacts of climate change. And indeed, at the last Asian Development Bank meeting that we had in Frankfurt, Department of Foreign Affairs actually gave a presentation to assist countries and gave a presentation to assist countries to understand more about the Global Climate Fund and what that actually means for our Pacific countries.
So there's no chance of reintroducing carbon tax or a mining tax or indeed an emissions trading scheme of the sort that was contemplated at the beginning of the previous Labor government?
Well, we've made it very, very clear that clearly we know that climate change has, and we know that there are natural disasters which are prevalent in the Pacific, and certainly.
So climate change is real, despite what Tony Abbott said.
Well, we know the climate is changing, and therefore, certainly from an Australian government perspective, we have made it very clear, particularly in our assistance to Pacific islands like Fiji and Vanuatu after their after the cyclones. We are working with those countries in terms of assisting them in terms of rebuilding, and we've certainly our commitment is to the Pacific Islands in terms of assisting them with natural disasters. It's very, very important. We are working with countries such as New Zealand and France and to assist not just Fiji as it recovers from Tropical Cyclone Winston, but we, you know, also after Cyclone Pam in March 2015, we supported, New Zealand supported our push for the Pacific Island Forum Foreign Ministers meeting in July 2015 to promote faster and better coordinated responses to disasters like cyclones and floods. We are working with our Pacific countries, and certainly this was the focus of discussions in my last two overseas trips, both in Frankfurt and at the World Humanitarian Summit, where we talked importantly about how we can look at a better regional response to disaster management. And certainly I'm sure that that's going to be one of the topics of discussion of the next foreign ministers meeting.
Every now and again, democratic processes tend to break down, and some Pacific Island states seem to have law and order issues. For example, the situation in the Solomon Islands that led to the Ramsey mission and the unrest that's been reported in Papua New Guinea just recently. How does Australia promote and maintain good and accountable governance in our Pacific Island neighbours?
Well, certainly through our aid that we assist Yuani. We have different programs in different countries, and obviously the stability of our region is very important to us, and so that we want to assist where we can and through our various programs, and we do what we can in terms of assisting different countries to meet and to understand and to face those issues.
Foreign affairs and immigration seem to be taking the heat in the issue of offshore processing centres and asylum seekers, especially Manus Island and Nauru, small islands in the Pacific Ocean. Concetta Ferranti-Wells, as Minister of International Development and the Pacific, what do you think should be done immediately to the offshore processing centres in the Pacific, Nauru and Manus Island, and what should be done about the asylum seekers being held there?
Well, I think this is a very important issue, and in relation particular to, and tied, of course, to our issue of border protection. We have agreements with Nauru and Manus Island, and we have gone through a process with those countries. For us, border protection is very important. We know that people smugglers are ever on the lookout for any inkling of change in policy. I mean, from our perspective, during the time that Labor was in power, we did see over 800 illegal boat arrivals. We saw more than 50,000 illegal maritime arrivals. We saw the deaths at sea. We've seen the cost that this has entailed. And so from our perspective, we believe that the people smugglers programs needed to be disrupted, and so therefore for us border protection has been fundamental.
Yeah, but Manus Island and Nauru, they are small, vulnerable islands. Isn't there a better way to deal with asylum seekers and protect our borders than setting up or sending them to offshore processing centres in very remote, very vulnerable, small Pacific islands?
Well, I come back to the point about the need to deal with effective border protection. Agreements have been entered into with the Papua New Guinean government and the Nauru government, and these are agreements that they have entered into with the Australian government. Now, from our perspective, we believe in strong border protection, and we respective governments have entered into agreements with these countries for processing of asylum seekers.
How soon can we see the end of offshore processing centres in the Pacific? Anytime in the next, this term? Well, definitely not in this term of government. Can we see an end to offshore processing in the Pacific by the end of the next term of government?
Well, Yuani, the reality is that, regrettably, the people smugglers continue to operate. And whilst ever we have people smugglers in operation who want to exploit people, then we will continue to have a problem. Now, we know that from our perspective, certainly the coalition government has been very, very strong on border protection, and we've certainly stopped the deaths at sea. But it's very, very clear that as soon as the Labor Party got into government last time, they completely abandoned any pretense of having a border protection problem. And indeed, we know that people smugglers know and can see the divisions with the Labor Party at the moment and would seek, I think, to exploit the situation if Labor were returned to government. And we know that 50 of Mr Shorten's MPs and candidates have openly opposed strong border protection. And indeed, people have been speaking out. So we know, We know that turnbacks and temporary protection visas are a fundamental part of good border protection, but we know that this is not what the Labor Party want to do, and we know that Labor is also wishing to provide a pathway to permanent residency for illegal asylum seekers, and this is sending a very dangerous signal to people smugglers that they'll be back in business with a product to sell. So whilst ever there is any faltering in border protection policies, then you will see the people smugglers coming back into operation.
Concetta Fioravanti Wells, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thanks very much, Ioane. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.